Well, good morning, and happy Mother's Day to all you moms. We're going to celebrate you today, honor you today, and we're talking about something that moms really, really know about. Anger. We're in a series called Jesus Gets Us. Last week, Brandon stepped in and spoke about growth. About how are you growing? What's your next step in growth in your relationship? If you missed that, you'll want to go back to our website and watch that and take that in. Next week, we'll conclude this series, but today, I want to talk to you about anger. Because anger really is a heart issue, a heart issue. Let me ask you as we get started, because I want to make sure you're going to be honest on Mother's Day. If any of these make you a little mad, I want you to raise your hand, and everybody can participate, not just the moms. How about bad drivers? Yeah, you know what? You know what's amazing to me? We got like how many million of people in the United States, and how can I be the best driver? I don't know. Just one of those things. How about one-uppers? You know those people, no matter what story you tell, no matter you went on vacation, you went to Florida, it was the greatest vacation, you come home, you're telling somebody, and they say, oh, yeah, well, you ought to see our trip to Hawaii. How about one-uppers? Yeah, those just tick you off. I get it. How about this one? Food photographers. Not people that do it professionally. Just there's some people, no matter where they go, that they think we all want to see their food. Anybody get mad about that? Okay, not as many of you. Okay, maybe it's just me. How about this one? Rude people. How many just can't tolerate rude people? Yeah, some people are putting up both hands. Like, you know, some people are just rude. Some people, right, you can tell they're having a bad day. You stir them up just a little bit, and you just, it's amazing. Like, how quick rude people can get me angry. And apparently some of you as well. Can we just agree that there's an anger problem in this country, in this world today? They said that since 2020, and that's a year we'd all like to forget, right? But if you look at the number of protests, if you look at the numbers that have went up when it comes to anger-related issues and crimes and all of that, listen, it is up over 244%. We've got anger issues. And it's just not somebody else. I don't know if you've noticed it in you, but there is anger in many of us. And so today, the title of the message is Break the Anger Cycle. We need to break it. We've got to stop it. And can I just tell you that your life kind of depends on it because it's a heart issue. And you might come up with all these reasons, and I could come up with all the reasons of people that make me mad and all that, but at the end of the day, it hurts me, and it hurts everybody around me that loves me and that I love. So we're going to start, if you would, take out your message outlines. You can follow along, fill in the blanks if you want, make your own notes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, we're going to start this, and here's what God's word says. In your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. He's telling us there's a reason why you shouldn't go to bed and go to sleep and let anger fester in your heart, and we'll get to that. But already, just in one verse, I can tell you, not only have I gotten angry, but I got angry and sinned. And my guess is so do you, and I won't ask for a show of hands on that one. But what do you do? What do you do when you realize that in your heart you've got anger? That you've got anger issues, that you lose your temper, that you explode, that sometimes you do that and you say things and you do things that you wish you wouldn't have done, but it's already happened. The good news is that we can look to the life of Jesus, which was what we've been doing during this whole season, a series of messages called Jesus Gets Us, because almost everything you've been through, Jesus either went through, he can relate to, he gets us, he understands, and this anger thing is no different. Jesus got angry, but he did not sin. Now, if I wish I could say that, but that's not true about me. Jesus got angry. He had a righteous anger, but he did not sin in his anger. Now, when you talk about Jesus getting angry, most people, if you know somewhat about the Bible, they'll go back to where he turned over all the tables in the temple when they were taking advantage of people that were coming to worship, and they were actually fraudulently charging them, right? They weren't letting them participate. They were telling them what they brought wasn't good enough, and then they would sell them stuff, and Jesus said, no, 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 that's not happening in my house. And he got angry, and he flipped over the tables. But that's not the story we're going to talk about. I want to tell you a different story that maybe you've never really noticed when Jesus got angry. It's in Mark chapter 3. We're going to look at the first six verses. Here's what it says. It says, Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. Here's why. Because if he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath, which was a no-no. Jesus said to the man with a deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. Verse 4, then Jesus turned to his critics and asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath? Or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. That does something to me. Anybody else other than me get angry when you speak to somebody and they don't speak back? Like, it's crazy. Like, I can be on the trail and go right past somebody. We're the only two people there and say hello, and they just walk past like they didn't hear you. I'm like, are you kidding me? Two human beings. Verse 5, Jesus looked around at them angrily, is how he looked, and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. His crippled hand was restored. Look at verse 6. At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. They set him in a trap. If he healed, they were going to get him. If he didn't heal, right, they're going to come. Hey, you didn't really care. You could have done something. You didn't. And Jesus got angry because he knew their heart. He knew their intentions. So what is anger? Let me give you a working definition that I think may help you not only today, but hopefully for the rest of your life from here on out. Anger is most commonly a secondary emotion. I think a lot of people, we just think, man, that happened and I got angry. Like, it's the first thing. That's not true. It's not the primary reason. It's not the primary emotion. Anger is an outward expression of one of three things: hurt, fear, or frustration. Hurt, fear, or frustration. I get angry because I'm either hurt, you hurt my feelings, you hurt somebody I love, I'm afraid, it's out of fear, or I'm angry because I'm frustrated. I could honestly say probably everybody went through that drive-through, their anger they showed was because they were frustrated with me being what I was behind that microphone and the camera. But all of those emotions, you can really say, if I'm angry, which one of those three things is it? I'm not just angry. I'm either afraid, right? I've either been hurt or I'm frustrated. That will come in handy as we move through this when you have to try to identify why I'm angry. If you can't identify it, you can't really fix it. So let me show you the cycle of anger. It's on your note sheets. This is kind of how anger works. If you look at that, it starts with an offense. That's at the very top. That's what kicks it off. Somebody was rude to you when you went to the drive-thru. Somebody was rude to you when you went to the grocery store. Somebody didn't answer you when you spoke to them. There's an offense that happens. And what happens right after that offense is that there's a seed planted. There's a seed planted in my heart, in my head, whatever it is. There's a seed planted that makes me a little angry. But that seed grows. It becomes a root. The reason Jesus said, don't let your sun go down on your anger, don't go to bed angry, you know why? Because if that seed sits overnight, it takes up root. If it sits overnight for a week or a month or 2 months or 3 months, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. That root does, and it establishes itself even deeper in your heart, which is the problem area. And then what happens is we have the outburst. Because we didn't get rid of the seed, now it's got a root. And now the next person that ignores me, the next person that's rude to me, the next person whatever that frustrates me, that's when we kind of outburst. That's when we kind of explode. That's when we kind of do it. And we don't even take credit for it a lot of times. You know what we do? We blame the other people. Anybody ever said this? Well, you know what pushes my button. You just push my buttons. Now, listen, can I just tell you something about you? You don't have buttons. You don't have buttons. You have choices. And if you can, you put the blame on somebody else that they know to act a certain way, that they're going to get a certain response, they become your boss. But it affects your heart. And then what happens after the outburst? It just starts over again. Some of us have been on a cycles for a long, long time. And you're just like this time bomb, ready to explode. You ever had that happen to you? Like you just said a little thing to somebody and their outburst, you're like, how in the world did what I said get that? It's not just what you said that did that. It's all those other things that have been spinning. Those seeds that have grown into roots and have a pretty good root system, that's what you are the recipient of. And not only have we had that happen to us, most of us can honestly say we've done that to somebody else. So how do we break the cycle? How do you break that anger cycle? I'm going to give you three thoughts and three steps that you can take today and hopefully from today on as well. Number one, it starts with discover. You got to discover, why am I mad? What's the source? Yes, I'm angry, but is it because of fear? Is it because of hurt? Is it because of frustration? Like, what's the source? I've got to figure out, why am I mad? Like, what's, and can you just see, if you've been on this cycle for a long, long time, you got so much stuff in you, you'd be like, man, that's hard to sort out. James chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Well, it's people that push my buttons. No. Don't they come, get this, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. There's something going on inside of us, Jesus says, that gets us stirred up. This cycle of anger, this hurt and fear and frustration through the years, it just builds up in us. So you got to start to unwrap this. Why am I really angry? Well, I've been hurt. I've been disrespected. Someone offended me. They hurt me. Someone offended me by hurting one of my kids. Somebody talked about me. Somebody lied about me. I've been hurt. I've been disrespected. I'm angry. But once you start to know what it is, then you can deal with it. And there's so many tools that are available to help you manage your anger. And can I just tell you, counseling's not a bad thing. Counseling is a good thing. If you get good counsel, if you get Christian counsel, you can start to sort out some of what's going on in you, in your head and in your heart that keeps you so tied up. Some of us, listen, I told you about a year and a half ago or so, I was when my wife told me I want my old Scott back, and I had to look like I didn't even like me a lot of times. Because I had so much stuff wrapped up in me that built for so long, I needed to go to a professional to try to unwind some of this. There's a root. And you got to discover what the root is. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that, get this, and no bitter root grows up, which comes from seeds, to cause trouble and defile many. We got to get to the root. We got to get to the cause. We got to discover what really is it. And can I tell you, one of the things that's going to be helpful for all three of these things is to pray. And I know it's like all you can do now is pray. No, the first thing we should be doing is praying. And here's something to pray for this one. Holy Spirit, God's presence living in me as a believer. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me discover what the root is. God, I'm really trying to sort this out. Would you help me discover, why is it? What's the real root cause of why am I angry? Is it because of hurt? Is it because of fear? Is it because of frustration? What is it? Holy Spirit, help me to discover this. So we have to start with step number one. You just discover, why am I mad? Number two, here's the second one, is you disclose, which means you talk about it. First of all, what is it? Why am I mad? Once I figure out why I'm mad, I need to talk about it. I've got to talk it out. It's whether it's with a counselor, whether it's with a close friend, whether it's with my small group, whatever it is, I've got to talk about it. Because here's why. Sin grows best in the dark. And so you got to turn on the light. Sin grows best in the dark, so you got to turn on the light. It doesn't just hurt somebody else that I get angry at. It's hurting me in my heart because I have this root system growing in my heart and affects everything. It affects everything. You got to expose it. You got to disclose it. You got to talk about it. Let's go back to Jesus' story with the man with a crippled hand. Jesus knew he was being set up. Mark chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus looked around at them angrily. He looked at them. It's Mother's Day, I know. We're just going to stop and talk about moms for just a second. If your mom is alive, take advantage of that today. Because I can tell you from personal experience, when they're gone, they're gone. And today we honor moms, and rightly so. They deserve honor. You know what honor really means? It means to place high value on. The fact that your mama gave birth to you, even if your mama is a drug addict and you haven't spoken in years, you can at least honor her for what she did. She gave you life. I believe mamas do the best they can, like all of us do, with what we've got. And we would all like to rewind and do some things differently. I was thinking about my mama in light of this message today. And moms deserve a lot of love, and my mom deserved a lot of love. She put up with a lot raising my brother and my sister. It was challenging. But can we agree? I've not met all of your mamas. Some of your mamas I probably know. But can we agree that mamas have a look? Did your mama have a look? My mama had a look. Like, we could be in a crowded place, and I'm thinking I'm safe because mama's not going to do something bad. But mama had that look. And you know what that look said for my mama? Like, I won't forget this. My mama used to say, wait till your dad gets home. You know what the problem? My dad always came home. You know what I'm saying? But my mama had a look that could kill, if you know what I mean. A look that said a lot of words without saying a word. Jesus gave them a look where they knew that he was not happy. You and I get angry. People are people, and they do things sometimes intentionally, but many times unintentional. Life happens. You get hurt. You get frustrated. There's a lot to be frustrated about, but the problem is when those seeds get planted and they turn into roots, it doesn't hurt everybody else per se, but it for certain hurts me because it grows in my heart. It affects how I see everybody in this world. So you got to talk about it. After you discover it, you got to disclose it and talk about it. Look at Colossians 3:8. But now you must also rid yourselves. Get this. You got to get rid of this. You got to rid yourself of all such things as this: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Why? Because it hurts you and it hurts the people that you love. That's why. So we confess to God. We ask him for his help to show us the cause. What's really am I angry about? And I go to God for forgiveness, but can I tell you something? We confess to each other for healing. We go to God for forgiveness, but we confess to one another for healing, and that's difficult to do. To tell someone you're sorry, but that's where healing begins. So we're going to pray. Even for this one, in this discovery process, right, this disclosing process, we're also going to pray. Here's the prayer: Holy Spirit, heal me. God, would you heal me? Would you begin to heal my heart? As I've discovered it, now I'm disclosing it, I'm talking about it. Would you heal my heart? Because at the end of the day, the only one that can heal that anger is him. So we discover it, we disclose it, and here's number three. You deny your flesh. You've got to deny your flesh. You can't let your flesh, this human body of yours, just run rampant. You can't. You got to deny what your tendency is, right? What we've told ourselves and convinced ourselves, well, they did that, and you push my button, so of course you're getting that. Like we're some kind of a vending machine. You push that button, here's what you get. And some of us believe that. That's not true. I love this quote from Groucho Marx. Speak when you're angry, and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. Anybody want to give a story about that? Like when you were really at your boiling point and somebody said something and you unleashed a speech that you wish you'd have never said. You look back and you're like, I can't even believe that came out of my mouth. We should believe it. You know why? Because seeds turn into roots, and roots make plants healthy enough to give out certain fruit. And when you have that sort of thing planted, that's the kind of fruit it's going to give. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. Proverbs, by the way, is the book of wisdom. There's much wisdom about real life in Proverbs. Matter of fact, in 2 weeks from today, after we wrap up this series next week, we're going to start a brand new series of messages on the book of Proverbs. Wisdom for real life. Fools give full vent to their rage. You ever heard somebody almost proud of that? Well, hey, I just let them have it. Fool. You're a fool. Some people be like, oh, yeah, you gave them what they needed. Yeah, good. No, fool, according to God's word. But the wise bring calm in the end. That's what the wise do. If you're wise, you don't give full vent to your anger. You know why? Because you realize it destroys other people, and it certainly destroys your witness, and it's not what God would have you to do, because in your anger, do not sin. And if you put somebody in their place, right, you've sinned, because then you should be put in your place, right? Let me say this about anger. If you're taking notes, you can fill this in. You may have a reason to be angry, but you don't have a right to sin. You may have a reason. You might even explain it to other people, and they say, oh, you got every reason to be angry. You do. Maybe you do. Jesus had every bit of right to be angry, but in his anger, he did not sin. The moment I became a follower of Jesus Christ, that right was revoked to just let people have it, to give them what they deserve, to put them in their place. I gave up that right when I received Christ as Savior and Lord. You know why? Because he gave up that right to punish me because I've received him, so I got credit for his perfection. So who am I to not forgive others when I've been forgiven so much? Now, you know what I know about people like you? Some of you. Some of you are sitting there, kind of straightened up your halo, and you're feeling pretty good. I know you're here. Some of you are doing that. You know why? Because somebody's sitting here, or several somebodies are sitting here watching at home, and they're saying, you know what? You pride yourself. You don't blow up. You don't have explosive anger. You don't raise your voice and scream until glass starts breaking in the home. That's not you. But hold on to that halo. Some of you, your anger is more subtle. Some of you, in your anger, you give people the silent treatment. I just won't speak to you for a while. I know that bothers you. Some of you, it's the cold shoulder. Some of you, it's the cold feet. It's like, oh, okay, we go to bed tonight. You want to rub your little feet over on my side? Touch our toes? You're not getting any toe tonight. Know what I'm saying? Oh, you didn't yell a bit. But you're not touching my toes. You just yank them away really quick. Maybe for you, it's you don't explode, but you withhold intimacy or affection. It's not just explosive anger. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. That's every follower of Jesus here. If you've crossed the line of faith and given Christ control of your heart, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and should we say through me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, get this, who loved me and gave himself for me. So in my anger, I'm not going to sin. That's not my choice. I want to be self-controlled. I want to live as Jesus lived. Am I going to get hurt? Yes. Am I going to be afraid? Yes. Am I going to get frustrated? Yes. But in that anger, I need to discover, why am I mad? I need to disclose and talk about it so that I can get to the root and get rid of it, so it doesn't develop and get deeper in my heart and spread out where I puke on people around me. Let's look at back at Jesus and how he handled it. First, let's look at what he didn't do. He's looking around and they're making him mad based on their behavior. And why were they making him mad? Because they were getting in the way of him wanting to do a good thing, which was healing this man's crippled up hand. It was a righteous anger that he had. He wasn't doing anything for his own resume. Back in that day, if a man couldn't use his hands, you probably couldn't make money for your family. They were trying to set Jesus up on a legal technicality, a religious technicality. Now, Jesus could have responded and zapped all of them. He could have given them like uncontrollable diarrhea or something to every one of those guys. That's what I would have done if I would have been God. He could have done that, but he didn't do that. What did he do to those that were trying to trap him and set him up to fail? Jesus was angry at these people, at the religious leaders, so he gave them a look, but he did not sin. He heals the man's hand, knowing that doing so would lead the Pharisees to go off and to plot on how to kill him for what he just did in front of them, which was their whole plan. Jesus calls us to deny our flesh. He didn't do what he would have wanted to do. He didn't lash out. He didn't zap them. He didn't publicly humiliate them. He denied what his flesh wanted to do, and he did what would please the Father. He just gave him the look. Listen, that's what we need to do as Christ followers. And if you struggle with that, you know what? Again, here's the answer. We pray. And here's the prayer that you pray here. Holy Spirit, God, your presence in me, have your way. If I do it my way, I know I'm going to sin and that I'm going to not do it the right way. So God, I want to take a page, Jesus, out of your book, and I want to do it your way. I pray, God, that you'd have your way in me. Have your way come out of me towards these people that I'm angry at like you did. Have your way. Deny the flesh. And to do this, you got to go deep. You got to figure out what's going on. You got to figure out what the root cause of your anger is. And let me just tell you, that's hard work. It doesn't just happen overnight. You've got to really be disciplined. You've got to really be focused. You've got to be determined to get to the root of that. And let me just illustrate it this way. If you came and looked at my yard, my lawn, it's pretty well cared for. If you look at other lawns in the neighborhood, some are really well cared for. Some, you're like, does anybody live there? You know what I'm talking about? And I'm not going to ask you which one you have because I don't want to get angry at you. But my lawn is edged. It's mowed quite regularly. It's mowed like God intended it to be, in straight lines. Just me, right? My wife has been very choosy of where she puts flowers and such to decorate the house outside so it looks pleasing, not just for people driving up, but for us. We love to sit out back on our deck, which is a pretty small deck, and just kind of take in the yard, take in the beautiful flowers and the surroundings around. As long as it's not above 70, I'm in. Or the sun's not too hot that day. But the reason my lawn looks the way it does is because I've invested in my lawn. I kind of look at our backyard and our yard and our home as kind of an oasis, if you will, a place of rest and kind of refreshment. And so we enjoy doing that. I don't always enjoy doing what it takes to make my lawn look that way, but I love the lawn that looks that way, so I know I can't have a lawn that looks that way and ignore it. You follow me? A couple years ago, we had this weird thing happen to our lawn, and we had weeds that we had never had before. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And so I got so angry, I bought one of the little tools that you get down to the root, and I'm going all the way around our yard. That's like 3/4 acre, and I'm picking these weeds one at a time right from the root, and I'm putting them in a bucket, and I'm getting angry as I'm doing it because I'm like, where'd you come from? Why are you trying to trash my yard and all of that? And I spent a long time doing that. I felt pretty good until I looked out a few days later, and I'm like, now I got some bare spots. I don't like bare spots. What am I going to do with the bare spots? And then you're like, well, you know what you got to do? You got to go poke some holes in the ground, and you got to get some grass seed. You got to get some fertilizer. You got to get some straw or something to cover it up so the seeds don't dry out. Now you got to water it, and you got to water it regularly so you'll have grass there. But I did it. You and I need to do some weed hunting in our hearts. There's some things that have been planted there through the circumstances of life that have taken up pretty good root. And we've been living a cycle where we blame other people for it. We'll explain it to other people. We'll even have people agree with us that I don't blame you. No wonder you're angry. I'd be angry too if I was you. And what you don't understand is it's hurting you and it's hurting the people that you love. Here we are on a Mother's Day, and you know what I can almost guarantee you? There's some of you that have moms that are still alive, and you're not even sure if you're going to call or go visit them because you've got some roots of anger. Something was said a long, long time ago. You might not even be able to remember it. It's probably grown so much that you can't even get it straight anymore, but you know what? It's hurting you, and it's hurting them. You know what I can tell you about every person that's here that doesn't have a mother that's still alive today? They'd give anything to go back and pull some weeds to have one more day to say I'm sorry or I love you and to give them a hug. Pulling weeds is dirty work. It's sweat, breeding work. But it's worth it. And I know at the end of the day, my yard, that's not really the deal. What's really the deal is your heart. And you have these roots and these weeds of anger. It's affecting every relationship you have, even if you don't see it. But Jesus gets us. He gets it. He knows what it's like to be angry. But in his anger, he did not sin. Have you been hurt? Of course you've been hurt. Have you been offended? Of course you have. Has somebody betrayed you? Of course they have. Have you done those things to other people? Of course you have. But God wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal mine. No one enjoys blowing off to somebody that you really love. But if you've explained it away for a long time on other things or people pushing your buttons, today's the day you take responsibility and say, listen, if there's weeds in my heart, there's two things I know about those. Number one, God doesn't want them to live there. And number two, between you and him, there's healing available and those weeds can be ridded. Life's too short to live with a heart full of angry weeds. One of the other reasons to me is the payoff for me getting rid of the weeds in my yard is when we sit out back on a day like today and know that we'll have 5 grandkids running around laughing and playing and dancing in the yard. Now, don't get me wrong. They'd dance if it was all weeds because they're kids. But there's something about that for me that just brings some extra joy. But you know what I know about you? Don't worry about your yard as much as you worry about your heart. And if all of us will allow God to do a work in our heart, and we're willing to do the work, in our heart, He understands. He gets us. And healing is available. Why did he get angry? He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. They didn't even care about this man who had a crippled hand that couldn't work and support his family. And then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." I'm going to ask everybody before we close to do something. I just want you to hold out your hand. If you're at home, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. You can put your hand down. Listen, at some point, if you're not angry today, at some point you will be. We all need healing from some past wounds and offenses and roots of bitterness that have grown inside of us. And the great news is, for all of us that have received Jesus, we have His Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, ready to heal us. And the starting point, even of discovery, is to reach out our hand and say, "I need your help." Jesus gets us. Would you bow your heads? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Heavenly Father, thank you that you're a loving God who not only knows our hearts, but you want to heal them. If you're here today and you'd be honest and say, "I struggle with anger. Maybe I've blamed other people. I've blamed circumstances. I've got an unfair deal in life." You can point to all the reasons why. We all can. But at the end of the day, listen, it's affecting you more than anyone, and it's affecting those that you love the most. And Jesus gets us. He understands anger. But in our anger, do not sin. And some of us, many of us, have sinned in our anger. And Jesus brought us here together today to show us a different way, His way. Yes, you can be angry, but not sin. You discover, why am I angry? You disclose it. You talk about it. And you deny your flesh. You don't do what comes natural. You do what comes supernatural, which is trusting God to help you identify the roots and pluck from your heart those things. Listen, if that's you, just in your own words, just say, "God, thanks for getting my attention today. I want to work with you and you to work with me to rid those so I can get out of this anger cycle so that people that I love can have all of me and not an anger side of me." Listen, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, can I just tell you, until you receive Him, you don't have the power necessary, His power, available to heal your heart. You see, more than anything, your greatest need is a Savior, to receive Jesus as Lord and a Savior of your life. If you'll provide the sinner that you clearly are, God provides a Savior. His name is Jesus, who came and lived a perfect life and died a horrible death on a cross as He paid for your sins. And on the third day, He rose from the dead and defeated death so that whosoever will believe in Him, put their faith and trust in Him and Jesus alone, will not perish but have everlasting, eternal life, heaven life. And when you receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, He places His Spirit in you, which is God's present in spirit form, who gives you what you need to heal. He's who forgives. It's not a religion, it's a personal relationship that you can have today. What about on Mother's Day that you receive Jesus as your Heavenly Father? If that's you right where you're at, make this your prayer. Say, "God, I don't understand it all. But I know I'm a sinner. I've hurt myself. I've hurt others as well. And right now, Jesus, I turn from my sin by faith, and I turn to you. I repent, and I ask you to save me, to forgive me, to give me the gift that I can't earn, purchase, or deserve, the gift of eternal life that starts now, the moment I receive you. And from this day forward, I want to learn to love you like you love me. And I'm going to pray, God, that you help heal my heart of all this anger, those roots, so I can jump out of the cycle of this anger. We love you. We say thanks. We give you the praise in your name. Amen.